All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
I guess the crowd is going wild because it is Brilliant Ideas Radio once again, and we have been gone for about 2 weeks, but I know all you guys have missed us, like missing that bad toe, but we're back on the air, and thank you for your support and waiting for us, and here we are again for food, fun, frolic, friends, whatever else happens along the way. We never do know. We're broadcasting from a new location, so if the sounds sound different, that's why. Well, you got some echo in here, but I think it'll sound okay on your end. And without further ado, of course, I will introduce my sidekicks. First of all, the one, the only Food News Jersey style girl.
Good morning.
You got your bottle all set up. Are we ready to make magic?
We are ready. Oh, we always make magic. But yes, I'm ready to rock and roll.
Yes. And by the way, folks, you can tell I've got a cold. I've been traveling, went to California, caught the bug on the airplane because the airplanes are like giant petri dishes. But got a little sick out there in California. So, yes, I sound like I got snot in my nose, but I'll do the best I can do. And without further ado, speaking of snot in my nose, here's my other sidekick.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end. People, let me tell you about my best friend.
Brian, why are the dark sides are? Welcome, Brian.
I don't know why I call this show every week.
You know what, Brian? I'm starting to think the same thing.
You just continually insult me. You know, I just don't understand. You know, I was going to say, if you'd stop being intimate with the people that you're sitting next to on the plane, which probably Lori doesn't know about, maybe you wouldn't get sick all the time.
Good morning, Lori. It's lovely to hear your voice.
Ditto.
Well, by the way, Brian, the guy that I was getting intimate with on the plane was weighed about 300 pounds, and he was coughing and snorting all the way from, where were we? We were from Charlotte to Phoenix. And the guy, I mean, he was just like a walking time bomb. And I don't know what, well, I guess he had business or something to take care of, but
I'm
going to
get you an industrial gas mask to wear when you travel.
Yeah, and then I got there, and the client, all of those guys were sick, and everybody's running fever, so you can't win. So anyway, I came back, and I've been coughing up lungs and not doing too well, but I'm back, and we're back, and hey, everybody's glad to hear about my snot in my nose. Let's talk about our guest today. Okay, first of all, I'm going to do this the right way, guys. First of all, if you are listening on your iPad, iPhone, iWhatever, and you're downloading this, you don't see who's going to be on the show, so I'm going to tell you. First off, our first guest, which will be at the noon hour, is a gentleman by the name of Christoph Wyman, and Christoph has written a book about the hospitality industry and customer service, and it's called Getting to Wow, W-O-W, and he has a blog called soupfly.net, and he's got this new book, and the book, I got the book in the mail, and I breezed through it, so I'm very interesting. It's all about getting back to the basics when it comes to customer service, so he'll be talking about his new book. And then our musical guest is actually a group, well, sort of. It's a group that used to be a twosome, I guess that's called duet, and now they're a fivesome. What is that, a quintet, Brian?
Yes, I would say it was a quintet.
Anyway, they were on our show a couple of years ago as the Lonesome Heroes. Well, the Lonesome Heroes are still around, but now they broke up the duet, and they brought in some guys, so it's a completely different group with the same name, but one of the main characters who was the guy who started the, where am I going with this? I have no clue. The guy who started the band will be joining us. His name is Rich Russell, and they've got a unique music sound that I told Laurie it reminds me of Hermit's Hermit, so stay tuned for that at 12:30. So, got that out of the way, and it's time for food news. And who wants to start? Laurie, since you're food news girl, aren't you supposed to have food news for us?
I'm just doing the good, the bad, and the ugly, so Laurie has food news.
Oh, that's
what?
Right.
You're doing good, bad. Right. Oh, yeah, you had to talk about that, too. But I have some stuff real quick. And I can't remember where we left off, but I know I had some bacon stories I was talking about. And I'm not sure if I talked about this one, but I had to bring it up because, actually, Brilliant, you have done this. And I'm not sure when you posted it, people were saying, ew, ew, ew. But there is a such thing as bacon-wrapped bananas. Did I talk about this last time?
Nope, you didn't.
It's been so long ago that we've been together, so I can't remember.
Exactly. I can't either. But it said it's totally acceptable as a breakfast food. You just wrap raw bacon around banana slices. You lay them on a cookie sheet, and then you bake them.
See? Sounds good to me.
Wait. You wrap the bacon around slices of banana? I would just wrap the whole thing around the banana and put it in the oven.
You could do that, too, I guess.
All you do is add peanut butter, and then you really got something.
Well, you
with the peanut butter.
I know. I'm telling you. He's addicted. But, okay, now we have bacon sandwiches, and here we go. It's called the Bacon Weave Elvis Sandwich.
Well, I don't just
mean a sandwich with bacon in it. I mean a sandwich in which the pieces of the bread, quote, are the actual bacon. You add peanut butter and bananas. Believe it or not, it's called an Elvis Sandwich.
Yep, he was known for actually liking those bacon banana and peanut butter sandwiches. That was his favorite sandwich.
That was his thing.
See? I don't know. Okay, now there's bacon pie. This one. I don't know why this one rings a bell. I thought we mentioned it. But you can take, you take mac and cheese, and then just like spice it up. On the top, like the pie, you make the bacon look like the weaved pie. And then they called quiche with better. So mac, cheese, and bacon with pie crust.
What?
This one, it just...
Well, I've been doing that since I was like 7.
You have?
Well, I mean, macaroni and cheese with bacon on top, yeah.
Wow, okay.
That's that's not trendy.
No, that's not new. That's like old news. I've been doing that forever.
Macaroni and cheese in a pie, and then bacon on top. You've been doing that forever.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's just a little twist, guys. It's a twist. I didn't like this article. I'm just reading.
Hey, Brian.
No, you don't write it. You just deliver it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Brian, speaking of being 7-year-old, my mother used to make eggs in a nest. You ever had that?
Yeah, I know it. I know what it is.
Okay. Well, eggs in a nest, for those who don't know what it is, you take a slice of bread, take a cup, punch the hole out in the center of the bread, crack your fried egg in the center, and put butter on the bread, and you have egg in the nest. My mother used to make that. That's what we thought was being fancy back in the day when I was like 7 years old. Of course, today that's kind of fancy for me.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I think
it wasn't that long ago we read an article, I think I found it, where, you know, old is now new again, and all these old trends are becoming, you know, new trends again. But the twist on the egg in the, you know, in the nest would be, I've seen where they, you know, kind of press bacon into, like, cupcake tins and crisp it up, and then they put the egg in and they bake it, and it's like you have the egg and the bacon together. I mean, that's decadent. To me, that's decadent,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It is. I agree. It is decadent. Really, we have not done that yet. I've got all these pies. These muffin pans and cupcake pans. We've got to do that.
We will.
You need to do the one where you line the whole bundt cake pan and do a dozen eggs, because, that's, you know, he's a good guy. He needs a lot, so.
Ooh, bacon pound cake. Let's do that, Mark.
Bacon
pound
cake.
We talked about that one.
That was Ryan's idea.
Yeah, we really should do that, because, I mean, the only way you can make your pound cake any better is add bacon.
No, my idea was putting bacon on skewers and dipping it in the Happy Cake batter, and then frying it.
That's right. Yeah. Pancake batter with the bacon, yes. Well, of course, we all know about dipping chocolate into with the bacon, so that's one of them. We all know about the bacon roses. You take the bacon, you roll it into little roses, and you can serve that. What else is there they're showing? I'm scrolling down because they have all these pictures. Okay, bacon tacos.
Okay.
Instead of an actual taco shell, it's the bacon. The bacon becomes the shell.
Did you notice the moment of silence there? It's like, yeah, bacon. You talk about bacon like taco shells, or just
tacos? This article is preaching to the choir.
We talked about bacon donuts. No, that was the cinnamon rolls with bacon. We talked about that. Okay, if you want to get fancy schmancy with your donuts, okay, you cook bacon, okay, and you put that on top of your donut, and you got a bacon donut.
Wait, how about just frying them in bacon fat? You know, donuts are fried in oil. Why not fry them in bacon fat? They probably were originally fried in lard anyway.
Basically, you can take bacon and put it on anything. So
you can.
I'm not sure where this article is going. I mean, you can just bacon on peanut butter and jelly, bacon on donuts.
All right, wait. I want to know, is there anywhere in that article the mention of bacon jam? Remember one of our friends posted on your wall, Grill, bacon jam?
Yeah. Yes.
And I've made bacon jam, and let me tell you, there ain't nothing like it. It's unbelievable.
Who posted that?
The recipe that she posted was a lot simpler than what I had found, where, you know, I went through like a bottle of bourbon and I had to add some other booze into it, and it took forever. It cooked down all day. But let me tell you, the flavor, bacon jam, unbelievable.
Jamming with bacon.
Unbelievable. You spread that on your bun for your hamburger.
Are you done with the bacon, Lori?
Yes, but I did want to mention last night's dinner. I want to mention what you put in the crock pot as a surprise to me.
Bacon?
If you would like.
Yeah. You put bacon. It was so good.
I hope you didn't cough into the crock pot.
Yeah, sorry. Oyster stew. No, it was, I made chicken breasts in the crock pot with bacon. I put bacon inside with it, along with, what did I put in there? Carrots and onions, but the bacon.
Onions, garlic.
It was good. You had to be there.
Yeah. Bacon or like slab.
Cut.
No, we just had slices. You just added slices on top, and it all just
yeah.
like melted.
You know,
it would
be good for that, especially for the crock pot, is if you could buy slab bacon and cut it into cubes. That would be fabulous.
Dan does that. Our neighbor Dan Osterman does that. Delicious.
Yeah, that does sound good. Hey, speaking of that, let's change subject slightly. We talked about this, I believe, briefly last time we were on, I think. What's this pork jowl stuff that you use?
Okay, from the cheek, they make either a regular salt-cured style or a smoked style. Now, the salt-cured style is something that in Italy they call guanciale, and it's what they use in carbonara sauce and a lot of other things. It's absolutely delicious. What I find is better about the pork jowl than bacon is that the fat just sort of, you know, it renders so beautifully and just sort of melts. And it's so delicious. That's what I use in my, you know, in my hash and, you know, on Saturday mornings is pork jowl. And then I'll slice it thin and fry it like bacon, you know, and I'll have like slices of it. But
I saw that
it's
at Walmart.
Absolutely delicious.
I wasn't sure what to do with it. I didn't know if you were supposed to go crabbing with it or you're supposed to cook with it. But now, after I saw
there are two different types. The one that they call pork side meat is usually the non-smoked, and it'll be sliced.
Okay.
And then there's the kind that they just call it smoked pork jowl. And
okay.
You'll see, it'll come in a big, you know, chunk, a part of the cheek, and you'll see a ribbon of meat kind of running through the middle of it. And then there's fat on either side. And it's absolutely delicious.
Speaking of pork cheeks, look who's calling in. Good morning. Welcome to the Great Ideas
Look who's
Radio
calling
show.
In. No, it's not who's calling in. It's who's been sitting here listening to y'all's nonsense for the last 20 minutes.
Well, first of all, I read that says, speaking of pork cheeks, this, by the way, this is A.A. Ron, everybody who doesn't know his voice. A.A. Ron, I saw
What's
the photograph.
What's up, brother?
Of that new
What's
thing.
Up, brother?
And speaking of pork
yes.
cheeks, oh, my gosh.
I can't stand that baby. That face
yeah.
is the most precious little thing. I want to hold her so bad.
Well, come on. You can hold her. Stay here and hold her and do whatever. Y'all can hang out as long as you want. But last week, someone did actually say we want more pictures of the Bacon Princess.
Yes.
So she has been labeled Bacon Princess. We did, Brian and I decided that the name Bacon Princess fit you, Brilliant, way more than it fits her.
Oh.
I
Bacon
think
Prince.
Bacon Princess is coming your way for a while. But by the way, I kind of want some candied guanciale right now.
Yeah.
Because the fat of that stuff is so creamy and delicious and awesome. It just renders so, it's the way to go for show.
For sure.
Good. Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Hey,
Ron.
And,
go ahead, Brian. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Go ahead,
no,
Brian.
No. Go ahead.
No,
talk.
I'm just going to ask him, when are you going to do this barbecue show? Are you ready to do this yet?
Yeah. Give me I probably need a couple of more weeks to get Ainsley a little bit more acclimated. Right now, with the way things went with getting her from the hospital and sugar levels and weird stuff that was happening, we literally had to feed her every 2 hours. Like, there was no way.
Oh, really?
We had to wake
really?
Her up. Yeah. We had to wake her up and feed her every 2 hours. If she wasn't waking up, we had to wipe her down with a wipe and freeze her to death so that she would wake up so we could feed her.
Oh.
I mean, it was so that kind of messed up her whole sleep schedule. So we're still kind of in the works of trying to get a normal sleep schedule in place. So
that
it's been,
takes time.
It takes a little bit of time. So. So
well, when you ever get that all straightened out with the new baby, you just let us know, and then we'll I think we should call your show the Bacon Princess Show. That would be cool.
That would be kind of cool. I'm down with that. We can call it the Bacon Princess Show. I'll even take a picture of myself in a tiara just so that we can.
Oh, take a picture of her in a tiara. Oh, and she looks like a real happy baby. I mean, that's surprising to get her to make those happy little faces.
She is. She's a very happy baby. She just, like I said, just at night, she doesn't really want to sleep at night. That's when she wants to hang out and be awake.
She's a partier.
She's a partier. She's like her dad.
That's all part of the deal, my man. That's all part of the deal. Well, go take care of the baby. And by the way, I won't say it because Laurie doesn't like me saying the F word, but everybody go check out Aaron Smith, Aaron Smith on Facebook, and you want to see pictures of a beautiful baby, and you get to see the baby while she's, you fill in the blank.
Mustard squirts on someone's food picture. So we won't ask Aaron to go into details.
Well, as my mom says, it's not that word. It's fluffing. Princess is fluff. That's what they do.
It's fluffy. See?
That's right.
All right, Aaron, we gotta go.
I wanted to call and say hey and give you all a hard time for a second, but enjoy the show.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Great hearing from you.
All right.
Hey, we have somebody else calling in. No, we don't. They hung up. Oh, well. All right, how much time we got left? We got 8 minutes. Brian, we're going to switch gears here because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I challenged you to go to Dairy Queen, and this is all part of the whole dark side thing. And, folks, if you don't know what dark side is, dark side basically is fast food, and Brian has become the dark side master czar. So how is Dairy Queen, Brian?
Well, I'm the dark side roving reporter for Brilliant Ideas Radio.
That's
what it is. and let me tell you, my body's suffering a little bit for it, but, you know, I'm a true partner in crime here, so I'm dealing with it. Actually, yes, I did. You challenged me, and I did go to Burger King, sorry. Hey, faux pas. There's that word. I did go to Dairy Queen, and I had the flamethrower, which actually I really enjoyed. I was, you know, go figure, who knew that Dairy Queen, they're an ice cream joint,
right,
you know, made such a good burger. It was a double patty, you know, with cheese in between. I'm going to read you the ingredients. I'm actually on a website. Double patty, fiery flamethrower sauce. I didn't care for the sauce too much. Melted pepper jack cheese in between. Jalapeno bacon, I don't get that. Did they infuse jalapeno in the bacon somehow? I got it in the sauce. Thick tomato, fresh green lettuce, on a warm bun. The burger was really tasty. It was well constructed. And remember my criticisms of that Wendy's burger, how it didn't have a fresh element? That's the biggest thing, is to have the, you know, the lettuce and tomato to kind of counter everything else. So I was thrilled. But you know what? Same problem with the bread. Everybody's probably changing their formula. I mean, why can't you find good bread with plastic in it anymore?
I'm telling you, they ruined it. I prefer that rubber compound in my bread, too. And you're right. Everywhere you go, I even noticed it when I was traveling. I stopped at Mickey D's, and I got whatever it was. I can't remember. Something quarter pounder. I think it was a double quarter pounder. And even the buns at McDonald's are different now. They fall apart.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't hold on to a burger and enjoy it without, you know, a decent bun to hold it all together. If the bun falls apart, you might as well just eat it all with a fork and knife. And that's not the way we eat hamburgers, right?
Yes, Brian, we all need firm buns, don't we? So you would consider the Dairy Queen, what do you call it again, flamethrower?
It's called the flamethrower.
It's the good, not the good, not it's not the bad and the ugly, it's the good of the dark side, right?
No, I would say it's the good. You know, another good was the Hardee's new Mile High burger.
You ate that too?
Yeah. Well, we've been apart for like 3 weeks now.
So how many? I have had
a few burgers.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how many dark side burgers have you had since we've been gone?
Well, I have three that I would report on. That's one a week, okay?
Okay.
You know, I'm on the road a lot, just like when you go on the road.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True.
That's true. He is on the road.
You just admitted to going to Mickey D's, so don't tell me about the dark side.
Well, you have to do what you got to do when you're on the road. So did you have any bad experiences or ugly experiences while you were out there?
I won't say ugly or bad. I'll say just okay was the new Wendy's Bacon Blue. They at least had some fresh, you know, element. Maybe they heard our show the last time I trashed that.
Oh, maybe.
What the hell was it? I'm sure.
Portobello
burger thing.
Yeah, corporate Wendy's, I'm sure, listens to our show every week to make sure we're talking good about their burgers, Brian.
No, their lawyers are preparing the lawsuit. No, there's a new one called the Bacon Blue, and it was actually a lot better than the other one. The one that you challenged me to go have because you loved so much.
I did love the Bacon Blue.
The Bacon Blue was a lot better, but my argument with Wendy's again is they put too much sauce on everything, and the sauce just is so salty, and it ruins the burger. But it wasn't a terrible burger, you know?
All right.
It wasn't nasty. So.
Yes.
Okay. Are we done? Are you done with that?
I'm done, unless you'd like me to come up with more.
No, not really, but I know how you get upset with me when I don't let you finish talking or tell what you have to say, so I just want to make sure.
I'm done. Trust me, I'm done.
And actually, I want to switch gears again to something serious. As you guys know, the culinary world lost a very valuable person a couple of weeks ago, our good buddy, Chef Christo Gonzalez. And it was a surprise, unfortunate to everyone. And we want to just give our condolences to his family, to his friends, and to his son. It was unexpected, and he's very much missed. And I did want to tell a real quick story about Christo. Christo and I've known Christo probably as long as I've known Laurie. I think Laurie was the one that introduced me to Christo. And to be honest, he and I never really talked that much until about a year and a half ago. I get this private message from Christo, and it says, "Hey, you, I see that we travel in the same group of folks who always block us. You travel in good company." So I thought, what the heck are we talking
yeah.
about? It turns out it seems like we had the same group of people that would block him that would block me. And from there, we became friends, and we spoke all the time, once I spoke, on the phone and also on Facebook. And then, of course, he had his own show. And by the way, folks, if you have not heard any of Christo's past shows, I know it may be difficult now with the recent passing, but he had some unique shows. They're there always in the archives if you ever want to listen to Christo's shows. There's about a dozen of them that he did, and just very, very interesting and will be missed. And I know I just wanted to say something about that. And Laurie, did you want to add anything?
Oh, absolutely, and I'm hoping that I don't get choked up, you know, by saying this, but I know I speak knowing that I'm speaking for everyone when I say that I still can't believe Christo is not with us, and I know we're all still in shock about it. This amazing, talented, kind, caring man was larger than life, and if you get a chance to go to his Facebook page, he was a superhero, you know. I mean, like many of us, I have never actually had the honor of meeting him in person, yet didn't he have such a way about him that made you feel like you've known him forever and he was your best friend?
Yep.
He just had a way. But I was trying to think back. I've been friends with Christo on Facebook, I think, for about 7 years. And I know I had, like you said, I had suggested his friendship to many of my foodie friends because I knew that they would, you know, appreciate and respect his talent, his knowledge, his humor. He was a lot like you, brilliant. He's this kind man under this tough guy image. I shared so many of his exquisite dishes on my business page, and he would always, you know, come by when I would share it and hit the like right away, say something kind, and always thank me privately, you know, for doing that and sharing his food and how he loved what he did. And no one will ever forget his gorgeous head of hair. I used to tease him and say, Christo, you've heard of kissing boots? Well, we need a touch the hair boost. And he would get a kick out of it.
Yeah,
I told him he'd have women lined up for miles. And you know, when he would talk about his son, Jackson, his pride and joy, he'd share his photos. And one time I said to him, I said, you know, I have a beautiful niece named Bridget, so be careful because she's the same age. And you never know, we might be related. New Jersey is a hop, skip, and jump away from New York. So, Christo, yeah, he lit up the Facebook world, lit up the world, and for sure he'll be truly missed. And heaven has an angel, that's for sure. Good guy.
And Brian actually had an interesting relationship with Christo. I would say there for a while there was this, I wouldn't call it friction, but there was what would you call it, Brian? But then you guys
you actually touched on something with the whole way you two started really getting to be friends is because of the history of blocking. And what's interesting is that I was kind of in that same circle of friends and, was kind of feeling pressure from one side to block the other side. And
right.
At one point, actually, Christo and I blocked each other because we definitely butted heads. for sure. And then I realized after I wound up, being blocked and blocking the other people that I was wrong in blocking Christo and him blocking me. And I sent him a very nice note and I said, hey, I really respect you. And I think that we went at something for all the wrong reasons. And let's start over, so we became friends and, I'm not a professional chef. I'm not in Christo's class, but Christo very often actually had good constructive comments whenever I would post food. And what I would say about Christo, what I respected most about him was, yes, he is arrogant. He is as arrogant as can be, but he backed it up with his talent and his ability, So you can be arrogant, but if you can't back it up, don't be arrogant, So I'm gonna miss him a lot.
It's interesting because he, like Laurie said, he is a superman in the culinary world, and there's nobody like him. His food was very artistic. Not only was it culinary genius, it was artistic. The plates with the colors and how to put things together.
Like,
I mean, the king of plating. Now, there's the guy who could plate food and make it look like a piece of art. So, not to belabor the point, and we just wanted to, take a moment to wish his family the best. He's going to be missed quite a bit. One thing I'll say, too, when he started his show, he wanted me to pick out a song for him to start his show, and I found this song by a group called Rolo Drum called The Big Bad Wolf. And he loved this song, and I'm going to play this in a minute as we go to break. This song is kind of like the Christo song as far as I'm concerned. But what was interesting, he came across as, quote-unquote, the Big Bad Wolf. He had that rough exterior. But after his passing, I am just amazed at the number of people that he touched and how he with all, you know, he became friends with so many people, and he took time for everyone. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I don't think any of us ever realized what he was doing behind the scenes. You know, he had this tough exterior, like he was like a tough guy, but he was had a big heart. And so, Christo, I know you're up there like Laurie says, and heaven's got an angel, and I know that when I get to heaven, there's going to be wonderful food there. Because Crystal is there making food for everybody up there. So everyone, hang tight. We're going to take a quick break, come back with our first guest, Christoph Wyman. I'm going to play what I call the Christo song, The Big Bad Wolf. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Here comes The Big Bad Wolf.
And we are back, and we're going to be going to our first guest. We're running a little behind here this morning, but as I said in the opening, our first guest, his name is Christoph Wyman, and Christoph has published a book about the hospitality industry and customer service. The book is called Getting to Wow, And if everything's working correctly, we should have Christoph calling in. Good morning, Christoph. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Grillion. How's everybody today?
Hey,
good morning, Christoph.
Hello, Christoph.
Hi.
So,
who's this?
I was just reading one of your posts on Facebook. I was laughing. You said, why do they call him Grillion? Because he must grill his guests. I'll try not to grill you. I'll try not to grill you too much, but I did receive your book in the mail and a thumbs up.
Oh, fantastic!
Today, and thank you, by the way. And we wanted to have
you
on because, hey, we're all about food and restaurants and the hospitality world, and wanted to get you on to find out a little bit more about your book and what drove you to actually write a book about getting to WOW.
Well, I appreciate it. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for the opportunity. And if I can give a quick shout-out to my buddy, Sean Doherty, who also is an author. He has a book out called Extra Dry with a Twist, A Bartender's Inside Guide. And he's the one who actually connected the two of us, Grillion. So the power of the Internet. What drove me to write a book about the hospitality and service industry? I was talking with somebody the other day, and it kind of dawned on me, I guess to say it in a nutshell, it was my frustration that became my inspiration. And what do I mean by that? I spent many years working in, you know, hotels, restaurants, catering companies, and I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. I've had the privilege of working with some titans of the industry like Wolfgang Puck. And obviously, Wolfgang Puck, as we know, is synonymous with not only great high-standard quality cuisine, but also service and hospitality as well.
Right.
And so when I was working with him, I really began to understand what excellence in service is all about. When I moved on to some other locations and some other restaurants, I saw that there was a big gap between what is possible, what I knew we could actually do and implement, and the service that I've been able to give to my guests, and what other restaurants are, I guess you would say, not doing. So I didn't want to be one, as I said, mentioned in the preface, I don't want to be one of those people, you know, who complain about the government but don't vote, so to speak.
Right.
So
right.
I wanted to be somebody who could, you know, share some insights and try to shine a light on the whole service industry and, help people who really aspire to improve their standard of service, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, and I'll have to admit, you know, around traveling quite a bit, eating at restaurants and things, that some people have just lost that, the wow factor. And it's almost
right.
like a chore that you show up in their place to begin with. If you want a glass of water, I'll be with you in about 30 minutes.
Exactly.
You want a menu? Oh, well, for God's sake, I didn't know you wanted to eat. So I get where you're coming from.
Absolutely. And, you know, the first part of the book. So the book is called Getting to WOW. Everybody wins
right.
with five-star service. And it really is about a journey. It's a journey of each chapter talks about a different aspect or a different aptitude that one has to learn or get to attain. And the very beginning of the book, I talk about the internal aspect of excellence or WOW service and hospitality. You know, every restaurant out there has a service manual, which is really 25 steps of service. And a person, a waiter, waitress, bartender, whoever, can actually do every single one of those steps correctly and still
right.
give bad service because
True.
They don't have the right attitude, as you're talking about, you know, like, wow, I need a menu, you know, or whatever the case may be. So it's about, to me, it's about the internal aspect of it first. And the very first chapter is called Getting a Map, M-A-P, for the Journey. And the P in that map is passion. You know, I think there are a lot of people in the service and hospitality industry who, you know, they don't want to be there. And I say flat out in the book, nobody told you have to be a bartender or a server or a host or whatever the case may be. But at some point, a person has to really decide and determine if this is where they want to be. You know, if you don't have the passion, it's going to come out in the way that you treat your guests. You know, and that's true for any industry. You know, I mean, if you don't enjoy talking to people on the radio, what are you doing it for?
Exactly.
Right?
And that's what a lot of people say to me, what are you doing it for?
Exactly. But you can tell. I mean, so you're a person who you enjoy what you do, and it comes out because it's effortless. And that's mm-hmm. what happens when a person has a passion, you know, for whatever industry. My wife is a nurse, and as I was finishing up the book, she explained to me, you know, she's never worked in a restaurant in her life. She's never carried a tray. She's never, until she met me, opened a bottle of wine. but she now we open a lot of them. She said, servers are just like nurses. I said, well, that's cool, but we don't get paid quite that much. but the point is that, you know, a person goes out for dinner and has a fantastic experience. As they're leaving, they shake the hand of the chef and say, thank you, chef. Everything was so fantastic. And the service staff is standing off to the side saying, okay, what about us? Did right. we not play a part in that whole experience? And the same thing in the medical industry. You know, the doctor may have prescribed the medicine or even operated on the person, but who is the one or the ones who are on the other part of the team that actually nurse the person back to health? So the chefs get all the accolades, as do the doctors, and the service staff are an integral part of the team that I think are the unsung heroes of the business.
Well, I agree. And Brian, he has something to do with, I guess you call it, the hospitality industry. He's out there selling wine, and you do quite a bit of this with your clients too, right, Brian?
Yes, I do. And my first thing is I want to say wow, because you have, like, taken so many of the words out of my mouth that I have, you know, said myself whenever I train a restaurant uh-huh. staff. You know, and I'm so happy to see that there are people out there that do have the passion for wanting to make people realize that you have to have passion for your job.
Absolutely.
You know, and what I wanted to share with you was that when I train a staff, the first question I ask them, now I'm supposed to be training them wine service, but usually do full service training. You know, I want to get some customer service, some hospitality in there. And I always ask them a question. What's the first thing you think about when you approach a table that you're about to serve? And they all think that, I'm talking about wine, and they give me all these wine answers, and I think we're all great. But nobody gives me the right answer. And I finally give in, and I say, the answer I'm looking for is that the customer is always right. And you have to read your customer and know how to take care of your customer. And,
by the way,
you know, and I bring
Christoph,
it to them.
Christoph, he hasn't learned that. He hasn't learned that himself, because I try to teach him, no matter what happens on this radio show, I am always right, and I'm like a customer to him.
You're the customer, you're the client, you're the owner, you're all of it.
Well, maybe
I agree.
You should come to some of my training grills.
I completely agree with you, Brian. You know, another thing that I talk about in the book is, you know, no matter what position a person has, or, you know, whether they're a host or a bartender or a server or a busser, I read a book by a guy named Shep Hyken. It's called Amaze Every Customer Every Time. And he says, no matter what your position is, you should always act like you're the owner, or you should be so good at your job that people mistake you for the owner. Like, hey, are you the owner? Are you serving wine? But you seem like you're the owner. And mm-hmm. then they say, if you're an owner, you should do so well at your job that the rest of the team aspires to want to be like you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, my question.
Go ahead, Brian. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. My question is that when you talk about how to offer the best customer service, do you, first of all, of course, I haven't seen the book yet. Do you talk about the, you know, the better you serve, the better you serve yourself? Because I bring it to my, you know, to my restaurant staffs about, you know, this is your livelihood and you have to have passion. And if you don't have passion, you don't serve correctly, you know, your customers in the proper manner, you're not going to make money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only that, but we need to realize in whatever position we are in the service and hospitality field industry, it's a show. And we are performers.
Mm-hmm.
And the guests that come in, they are the audience, and they're expecting a show, you know. And it doesn't mean, you know, singing and dancing, although sometimes, you know, that is the case. There are restaurants, you know, and all around the country. In L.A., there's an Italian restaurant. You got to be able to sing as well as serve. But I'm not talking specifically only about that. It's a performance. And, you know, if guests did not want to have an experience, everybody would be ordering takeout.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So your book just recently, and where can people find the book? They can find it on your website, getting to wowbook.com. Can they find it other places too, or they go straight to your website?
Either way, you can go to gettingtowowbook.com, and I actually lowered the price for this weekend for our Brilliant Ideas Radio listeners.
Aww.
And they don't even have to put in a code. So it's $24, and
yeah.
List price is $28.95. You can actually also go on Amazon, and I think the price is very close. The only difference is if you get it on Amazon, you won't be able to get it personally signed by me unless you have it sent to you and then send it over to me. But if anybody who purchases it through gettingtowowbook.com, I will write a personal note for you if you want me to. If you don't, that I won't do it.
And like you said, it's not just for the hospitality or restaurant business. It's basically a philosophy that people can use, whether they're in the restaurant business or a nurse or what have you.
Absolutely. I have one customers who are in the medical field, who are in IT sales and service. I have one lady who is a banking manager in St. Louis, and she said to me, look, every single bank is the same. You know, we all have the exact same products. So how can we differentiate ourselves? And she said the only way is through the service that we provide. So she bought 3 copies to share with her management team. And absolutely,
cool.
You know, the examples in the book are from my experience in hotel and restaurant industry. But, you know, if you get beyond those specific examples, yes, you don't have to carry a tray or know how to open a bottle of wine in the bank. Now, in the medical field, I think you do.
Well, now, something I got to ask you. Okay, now I'm gonna twist this a little bit. I'm not gonna mention any names. When you said bank, you made me think of. I'm not gonna mention any names, but B of A. But not gonna mention them any
right,
names.
Right.
But they've actually started this whole customer service. I don't know what you want to call it. It's a program, but it's not real. It's fake. So I go into the bank, and they actually will turn me off because they're trying to be
Absolutely. I know exactly what you mean. You're standing in line because you want to make your deposit, and somebody comes up with a clipboard and says, what are you here for?
Correct.
And I say, listen, I want to talk to the lady privately, you know, at the teller booth. I don't want to be broadcasting to the 25 people in line that I've got a deposit of $5,000 I want to make or whatever the case may be. So I agree, you know, but what does that tell us? That tells us that everybody is at least aware that we have lost the whole aspect of customer service. So they're trying, you know, in theory, they're trying. I just think that I agree with you. The implementation is kind of weird, not awkward, you know?
Right, exactly. I mean, it's to the point now, it's like I want to puke in there. It's just like you walk up and first thing they want to know is how is your day? How is the weather? I'm like, I just want to deposit a check and leave me alone. But I think the point of the story is you've got to have passion and also it's got to be real. You can't have a fakeness about you.
Absolutely, yeah. 100%. And, you know, I think it's important for people to question if they're in the right job. You know, just because you've been doing this for X number of years, if you don't love it, like you were saying earlier, Brian, you know, if you don't serve the guests properly, you're not going to serve yourself. In another way of saying it, I talk about energy. You know, we talk about reading the guests, which is so very important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the converse side of that is the guests can read us. So if I walk up to a table and I have a fake smile on, hi, how are you today? But they can feel that crappy, negative, whatever you want to call it, energy. And then I do every single point of service properly, but I have no enthusiasm. I have no passion. You know what? You're going to get a crappy tip. And I talk about in the book where, you know, a lot of times servers stand around and say, how's your day going? Oh, it sucks. Why does it suck? Because their tips are bad. And so I pose the question, if a person would just maybe analyze, which came first? Was it the crappy tips or was it the bad attitude? Is there a possibility that there might be a link between the two?
Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I might be crazy.
Except if it's 4 o'clock at Denny's when all the old people go there, you're not going to get a big tip no matter how nice you're trying to be.
That is true. That is true. But you know what? I interviewed so many people for the book, and one of my friends, Greg Deleuze, he says, look, a lot of times that's going to happen, or you might have a foreigner who doesn't understand American style of tipping, and so you give perfect, great attitude, great energy, perfect service. And you get 10%, you get 12%, whatever the case may be. But if you brush it off, don't worry about it, turn around and either the next table, the next day, whatever, you get a group of 6 people and their check is whatever, and the gratuity is already added, so you just made $200. As the host is leaving, he hands you another $150. And my friend Greg says, okay, did I actually earn that extra $150? Not really. I was just blessed. You know, it all balances out.
Yep, it does. And I'm going to give you a little experience I had last week, actually in Fresno, California. And you'll maybe relate to this, but I was on my way to my meeting, and I pulled into McDonald's, and I was going
to
get a cup of
coffee. To where?
McDonald's.
Okay.
You'll be surprised at this story, probably. But I get to the drive-thru, and the lady who came over the loudspeaker, very pleasant, how are you this morning? How may we help you? And I said, I would like a caramel iced coffee, please. And she was so pleasant. And then she says, please drive around to the first window. When she came to the window, she took my money, and she was just happy. She goes, oh, you're looking good today. And I said, well, thank you. So are you. And then she says, pull up to the second window. And I got to the second window. The lady who was handing out the coffee, she was super-duper pleasant, and I felt good the rest of the day because Nikki D must have read your book, I guess, because whatever they did at that restaurant, it was perfect.
And that's the, you know, in a nutshell, you just said it, because getting to wow, even though the cover has a guy hold, you know, he's got a tuxedo and he's got a close and a silver tray, wow service is not about tuxedoed servers and eating off of fine china and white linens. It can be found and should be delivered at any level of establishment, from, you know, a diner all the way up to the most expensive 5-star restaurant. And that's exactly it, you know?
Now, I'm going to switch gears here on soupfly.net. That's your blog, right?
That is my blog. You know, I started that last year, and I am really humbled, excited, proud, overwhelmed, all of those things all rolled into one. I have readers from nearly 70 countries around the world.
Wow.
70 countries. Oh, yes, wow. In fact, I have, who do I have? I have Jerry in Baguio City, Philippines, listening right now, and Peter in Serbia.
That's
cool. It's amazing. It's amazing because, you know what? It's universal, right? Service and hospitality isn't an American ideal. You know, it's a worldwide thing, and I think people all around the world actually need, you know, a little bit of help in elevating their service and hospitality.
So if someone goes to soupfly.net to your blog, what are they going to find there?
they're going to find stories, just stories about my personal experiences of places that I've gone to have, and it's not even just eating at restaurants, but, you know, over the holidays, I talked a little bit about service in the retail industry. So little snippets of personal experiences, as well as I tried to share some valuable content, some principles. That when I first started, it was much longer, and I'm endeavoring to make my blogs shorter and more often, more frequent, so people can actually get through them instead of, you know, taking 20 minutes to read a blog. It's all new to me.
I actually had one more question, if I may.
Sure.
So you've got written the book, you've got your blog. Now, do you go out as a clinician or an independent contractor and work with restaurant staffs?
Absolutely.
As
yeah.
well.
So Aspire Enterprises is our company. Aspire stands for Advancing Service Performance, Inspiring Restaurant Excellence. And we do service and hospitality consulting, staff training, and I might add management training, because you know what? You can equip the staff and give them all the tools and, you know, them be completely on board. But if the management doesn't have it, you know, it all starts at the top, and that's where there's a disconnect a lot of times. Servers
yes,
want to
have
excel.
That experience many times.
Well, we appreciate
but
Chris
I, that's
joining
fantastic,
us
yeah.
And coming in and talking about your book, Getting to Wow. And if people, you want to find it, go to his website, which is www.gettingtowowbook.com. And I've got a link here. All you got to do is click it, and it takes you right to his website. You can buy the book there. He'll personally sign it for you, send you a little note. And I'm looking forward to actually reading the book myself. From just thumbing through it, it was very intriguing, and I learned a lot just in a few minutes I looked at it. Also, check out his blog, which is www.soupfly.net. You can find out more about him there, and also on Facebook. And Christoph, good luck with the book, and wish, you know, if you come back and got any more new books you want to talk about, you're always welcome back on Gray and Ideas Radio.
Thank you, thank you. Can I add one last thing that I think will might be of interest?
Quarter, but go ahead.
That's fine. I'm going to send a check for a quarter in the mail. So we are starting next week our 30-day Getting to Wow Mega Book launch, and we have partnered with our local food bank called Three Square, which is a part of the larger organization called Feeding America. So for every book that is sold, $3 is going to Three Square for 30 days. So 3-3-30
wow.
is our program. So, in fact, you know what? We're not supposed to – it's officially not starting until the 16th, but since we have this wonderful opportunity on Brilliant Ideas Radio, anybody who purchases over the weekend, we will be giving the $3 to Three Square as well.
Oh,
so we're very excited
oh,
about doing that.
Yes, well, thank you very much. And go to his website. What was the price of the book? You said this weekend and get a special price. How much is it?
It's $24 plus shipping.
Great. All right, well, check it out, everybody. Thank you, Christoph, for joining us. Good luck with the book.
Great job.
Thank you so much. God bless you all, and cheers, everybody.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks, Christoph.
Goodbye.
All right. Sounds like it's an interesting book from what I can see and what I read real quick last night. It's very enjoyable. So check out his book. Go to his website. Get yourself one. Got a special deal this weekend, and plus the extra money goes to the food bank. So there you go. Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break. Our next guest is the Lonesome Heroes, and like I told you earlier, they kind of remind me of Hermit's Hermits, and they'll be joining us to find out what's been happening to the band since we last met a couple of years ago, and a lot's been happening, actually. Everyone, hang tight. The Lonesome Heroes. The song is called Sunshine Come. We'll be right back.
Time come
Come, but they haven't come yet for their interview, so I'm waiting for them to call in, and I got Sunblast running like a crazy nut trying to find out where they were. Yesterday they were in El Paso heading, I think, to California, and there was I think, a confusion as to what time they're supposed to call in. That's the one thing over the years I've learned, it's very difficult for people to figure out time zones, so anyway, we're looking for our guest, Brian.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've seen your note here on Facebook. I could do that, couldn't I? No, I'm out of time to do that. Anyway, do you have any?
Hey, all I want to say is, and I would have loved to have said it in front of Christoph, maybe he's still listening, is that I hope you read the book, and I hope you learn some manners from it. I hope you learn how to tip properly.
You talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Oh, ask Laurie. Laurie, am I not a good tipper?
Huge. You're very good. You know me, I am, because I've been in the business for 35 years, I think. Something like that. I mean, hostess, waitress.
Yeah, I know. See, that's one thing that is always important to me, too. Is because I am around restaurants all the time and I work with staff. I know how hard these people do work, you know, and when they do put the effort in and try, and still people, like, you know, they'll give them a couple of bucks, you know, and I'm like, really? So I've always over-tipped. I even tipped in Europe when, you know, it's already added in. But, you know, I still feel compelled.
In my life, I've come to the conclusion that somebody has to wait on me. They deserve to get paid well.
Well, that's the other side of that.
Oh gosh, I've tipped, but the bus boys, like, there was this one bus boy one time in a restaurant years and years and years ago, and I don't know how he did it, but they come around, they collect the plates, and this guy, he did it so quietly, and to this day I have never seen someone pick up dishes so quietly. And after he was walking away and we were leaving, I went back and I gave him a really nice tip and said, I have never seen someone pick up dishes like that. I don't know, I've never seen it since. He made no noise. He was picking plates and coffee cups, and it was silent.
And I could, you know, I didn't want to take up Christoph's time because we wanted to hear his side of the story, but I can share some stories about when I do training and how the staff, the wait staff, is always bickering about how they have to share their tips with the busboys and the runners and the barbacks and the, you know, and everybody. And I'm thinking, really? I mean, these guys work just as hard. In fact, they're the ones that have to clean up all the service slots.
Yeah.
You know, and the those guys don't barely ever get considered. So
nope. If
they're making three and change an hour, which I think is the standard rate for servers, because most of their money is made on, you know, on their tips, the guys who are the busboys and the food runners are only making their whatever their hourly is. And
right.
Barely making anything, you know. And there are so many.
I have to. The only thing I differ on: don't the wait staff get paid? You said like $3, but the cleanup crew gets paid like $8 an hour.
I don't know. I don't know that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I don't think they get the same stuff.
I'm
gonna have every busboy in America hating me, but I can see where maybe the wait staff, because they get paid less per hour, might get upset if everybody else is getting the full minimum wage. Just a thought.
But I don't think they do. I think it's supposed to be that, you know, some of the runners and the bus boys get a small percentage of the tips, you know, if they go into a pool. And some restaurants do that where they pool their tips, and some restaurants,
yes,
very competitive amongst the servers. But, I mean, mm-hmm. I remember what Lori's talking about in the old days. Like, you go to a diner in Jersey, and, you know, you've got your servers and you've got your busboys that came around with the cart and picked up the plates, and because the servers never,
yep,
touched anything. In fact, the servers barely ever brought the food out. They were just like the person that came around and took your order and checked on you, you know, to see if you liked your food. But they really never served you. But they're the ones that get the tip. You know, so it's such an industry. And what we didn't talk about with Christoph is what you see in fine restaurants is you see servers that have been there for a long time because they do have the passion and they do get it. And that's why they continue to do great service. If you go to family style restaurants, other types of restaurants, there's always a revolving door of service. And I was constantly doing training at one restaurant because, you have students, they're only there to make money. But they don't know how to make money because they don't have the right attitude. You know, I used to tell people, I said, if you're having a bad hair day, you know, don't bring it to the table.
Laurie, remember the first time I took you to Denny's?
Yes, I do remember that lady. Oh, my gosh.
This is a special moment for us, Brian. The first time I ever took Laurie to a Denny's.
How romantic, Denny's. That's special all by itself.
But the woman that was there, what did she say? She had been with Denny's for like how many years? I forget. It was like unbelievable.
It was forever.
I mean, like she was like the best server ever. I mean, I think we ended up giving her like 25 or 30%. She was just amazing.
She was amazing.
Our total bill was like what, $12? So what? That's not saying a whole lot, but
you're such a big spender.
Let me give you guys an update. We're trying to find the band. And remember when we were
on the road
earlier? Well, yeah, get this. Remember when I was talking earlier and I said, someone's on the line, and then they hung up? Well, that was the band, and they were messed up with their time, and they call it an hour early, so we can't find them now. So you guys want to hear another one of their songs just for the fun of it?
Yes, I do like this guy.
Good. I do. I did a little research. You know, I did my homework, so I did listen. And you're right.
All right.
I like your your reference to Herman's Hermits.
Herman Hermits. It really is Herman Hermits.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna play another one of their songs. I wanted these guys to come on because Rich Russell actually had a faux tofu barbecue recipe he was going to give us. Then they have some kind of contest. I don't know if it's in San Francisco or wherever, but he talked about this last time we were on. He and I got in this long conversation about tofu, but supposedly he has a tofu barbecue recipe he wanted to share, but looks like we can't find them. But I'm going to play one of their songs, and maybe even the next 10 minutes, if we can grab them on the road somewhere, we'll be able to talk to them. Otherwise, here's another song by the Lonesome Heroes. The song is called Steel. We'll be right back.
Well, if I was a highway, I'd be a thousand miles long. My road's so twisted and tattered, cause I don't know where I'm bound. I'm concrete, I'm asphalt, and I'm steel. But I summon up the rain with a single tear. And if I was a song, then I sing myself to you. But I'm only me, and this song's just passing through. I'm carbon, I'm water, and I'm man. But I summon up a fire with a single song. But if I could fly like a bird, then I'd flap my wings on back to you. Stuck here on this ground, so saying goodbye's all that I can do, all that I can do. Weigh 149 pounds. My blood thick like soil, cause my feet stay on the ground. I'm distance, I'm earth, and I am rain. But saying goodbye's more than I could bear. What if I could fly like a bird? Then I'd flap my wings on back to you. Here on this ground, so say to you goodbye's all that I can do, all that I can do.
Oh well, that was the Lonesome Heroes, and we can't find them, so we're going to have to reschedule the band and make sure we give them a Mickey Mouse clock next time so they know when to call in. Oh, my God. Anyway, I like their music. It's kind of a different, kind of a 1960s Americana country, what have you. But anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of half country, half rock, you know.
A little bit of everything. A little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll. Anyway, yeah. Well, let's see here. Let me a couple announcements here I can make. There will be no Linky Monterey show tomorrow night. Linky's been on the go constantly. I know you guys, you see her on her website and her Facebook, and she's a tough lady to nail down and get her all set up for these shows. But she sent me a text message this morning and said that she will be ready to go next Sunday. And check out her website, too. It's Linky Monterey, M-A-R, I'm going to spell it wrong. Is it I-A-S? I hope. .com. And she'll be here next Sunday. Don't forget, Tuesday will be our good buddy, John Dilley. John has the show about hot sauce industry and small business, and he actually had a spill last week and bumped his head and had a concussion. So he had to cancel, but he's supposed to be back this Tuesday night at 7 p.m., so check out that show. And then our good buddy Albert, the Untamed Chef, Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. He'll be joining us with another one of his shows. So that's the announcements we've got here. Let's see. Who do we got coming on next week? I don't know.
Oh, hey, I could add an announcement. I mean, we know that we know about our good friend Emily Allen, who's going to be on Cutthroat Kitchen.
Oh, that's great. When is that?
Next Sunday. I don't remember
Oh, really?
When the actual, you know, because they have like a few shows that have reruns, and then there's the new show, and, you know, I think it's like 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But if people look at her website, I mean, her her Facebook page or her website, I'm sure there's stuff on it about it. But I think it's cool. I'm definitely going to be watching.
Yeah, wait, is she going to be an actual contestant?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And you know what's ironic is the host of that show, Alton Brown, was her mentor when she did Next Food Network Star competition.
Oh, really?
So that's kind of be cool that, you know, he's now the host of this show and she's a contestant. And he's just like, you know, trying to stump everybody. I actually like that show. It's a cool show. It's funny.
You know, us folks who don't have television know nothing about what you're talking about, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, well.
Well, let me see.
If you'd get out of the Stone Age, maybe you'd have television.
Sunblessed is sending me a message, and basically she can't find a band. They've been traveling through 3 time zones, so they must have got confused. Okay. Well,
next week. Maybe we'll have them on next week.
Yeah, I guess we got nobody scheduled right now. Why not? All right.
Yep.
Hey, Laurie, do you have anything you'd like to add? We're down to our last 5 or 6 minutes here. Anything you'd like to add to the show today?
I got some food news. If you want me to read a little more of that, or if you mean you want me to want me to sing and dance? I don't know.
Yeah, well,
not another bacon story, though.
You'd like, but how about a little food news for that'll last about 2 or 3 minutes?
Okay, here we go, guys. Be prepared. The French. French gourmets have traditionally shunned hot, spicy food. But a study indicates, did you know that curry-loving men have higher testosterone? Scientists at the highly respected University of Grenoble have published a report, and they suggest that regular consumption of chili peppers may raise the levels of the hormone, which is believed to make men more adventurous, enterprising, and sexually active.
Oh, hot! So it's like hot pepper. I thought you said curry.
I did say curry.
Oh.
Well, curry's got chili in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So you are why curry.
Because I'm laughing. You know why I was laughing? Because I don't like curry.
I know. I'm laughing, too. I haven't done it out loud until now, but.
Listen to this one, though. It says, these results are in line with a lot of research showing a link between testosterone and financial, sexual, and behavioral risk-taking. The research paper titled Some Like It Hot is to be published in the U.S.-based journal Physiology and Behavior, and their testosterone levels were measured from saliva samples, and they were presented with a plate of mashed potatoes and invited them to add chili sauce to the taste. Those who added the most hot sauce had the highest testosterone. Okay.
Hormone
drives the men to seek thrills and new sensations, leading them to frequent, more stimulating social groups, and they take more risks. The effect of these hot peppers on women has yet to be studied, but they say the research may inspire Gallic chefs to spice up their recipes and provoke a radical change in their eating habits of the French men. Unlike their British counterparts, relatively few have acquired a taste for the hot chilies. Many see chili as an assault on their taste buds that hinder the more delicate flavors of the classic French cuisine. And see, I have to agree. I think when you make something too hot, too spicy, you take away the flavor of the food. So I like a little bit, but that's just, you know.
I agree. You know, moderation is good. But I'm surprised that they say that English don't like hot, because there is an enormous Indian community in England. In fact, when we were in London, we ate at an Indian restaurant, and the food, the prepared food in the grocery stores, the Indian food, was really spicy.
Hmm.
So I'm surprised that they would say that. But, you know, getting back to the testosterone, I know where Grill gets his. It's from bacon and peanut butter. And he's going to find a study that out there that proves that bacon and peanut butter also give you high levels of testosterone.
Yeah, I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up right now on Google as we speak.
I think you would be.
Hey, but listen to this last part, which is a little scary. It says the American scientist James M. Dabbs described the testosterone as the hormone of, quote, heroes, rogues, and lovers. And in a book published in 2000, he linked high testosterone with violent crime and sexual assaults. See? So,
there you go.
Moderation, guys.
So stay away from John Dilly's, which you just said.
Nah, he's a Jersey boy. He's okay. Okay. And Hoboken Eddie. Yeah, they're okay. They're good guys.
Speaking of Hoboken Eddie, I just remembered that. He wants me to have some lady in the hot sauce business for our show next Saturday. I just remembered that when you said that, and I got to go check that out. So, yeah, we do have a hot sauce woman coming on the show next week, I know for sure. Anyway,
well,
what'd you say?
I think Hoboken Eddie suggested her. Oh, I'm sorry.
I know, but I don't know what Brian said. He said hot diggity twice. What did you say, Lori?
I think it's the girl. Is her name Nikki?
Yes.
Okay, but he suggested her as a friend. I just saw her in my suggested friend, and I just friended her. So
yes.
That's probably what it is.
Oh, okay. He sent the same thing to me, and I didn't know who this person was.
Well,
it says suggested her.
By the way, folks, let me just tell you real quick about Brian. If you send him a friend request, you have to also fill out a biography, and you have to give him all kinds of details about your past life before he will friend you. So don't feel offended if he doesn't friend you back.
It's Nikki's, wait, well, this is probably her, whatever, Nikki's hot ass?
Yes. Nikki's hot
ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say the rest of it, but yes.
All right, so then I will approve that one.
By the way, too, I just got a note from Sunblessed that February 15th definitely is the Emily show for Emily Ellen on Cutthroat Kitchen, February 15th.
Go, Emily.
Right.
And you can click on, she's got a, actually, you go to her site, Emily Ellen's Cutthroat Kitchen Viewing Party, and you can find it on her Facebook page. I guess we're almost out of time, so I'm going to, why not? I'm going to play the last song I have of the Lonesome Heroes, because who knows if they'll ever be back. And speaking of testosterone and hot, this song kind of goes along with that. The Lonesome Heroes, Love is Contagious, and you guys have a nice weekend. We will see you next Saturday. And by the way, just on a side note, we're talking about changing our show to Sunday night. So I'm throwing that out there. I'd like to get some feedback from people if you have a issue with us changing to Sundays. Too bad, we're going to anyway, but I'd like to get your feedback. All right. The Lonesome Heroes, Love is Contagious. Everyone have a nice weekend. We will see you.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys.
Happy. Cheers.
Lost in your eyes, finally found a faraway smile. If we could just run away, then maybe things would be fine for a while. The time. time just goes by lately. Feels like nothing changes. Got the setting.